Tonight I want to talk to you about the process in eating God's word. We talked about the milk and the meat, so we want to just continue in that. If you turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, we'll read verse 11 through 14. If you want to stand for the reading of the word, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. You can be seated. Again, the process in eating God's word. Amen. We talked about the dull of hearing and those kind of things. But the meat of the word is one way to go deeper in God's word, all right? The Bible uses an analogy of going from milk to strong meat. And this is an analogy that we understand. Infants start out on milk and graduate to solid food or to meat. But it really is, it's really fun when your child finally starts taking solid food and they don't eat it often. They rub most of it on them and wear it probably more than they eat. Spaghetti bowls on their head and things of that nature. An infant needs milk. We expect a baby to be on a bottle, but it is disturbing to see a grown-up on a bottle. Right? A grown-up that still lives with my mom and wears diapers and sleeps in a crib and drinks milk. About a baby bottle, that he has a condition called paraphilic infantism. Something like that. Greek word, whatever. But one look at somebody like that, and you know there's something wrong with them. Right? And folks, many Christians have the same condition spiritually. And many saints of us stay in a perpetual babyhood for a while, and that's okay. We need milk. We can't handle solid food, and it's time, though, to grow up. A certain time, it's time to grow up. And the best way we grow up is by feeding on God's word. Jeremiah 15, verse 16 says, when your words came, I ate them, that they were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. You see, eating something involves a series of process: tasting, chewing, swallowing, digesting, absorbing, and using nutrients to build and repair, to energize. There's a lot of different things that go on. It's a process. And there are seven processes in eating God's word. And each of these builds upon one before it and takes you deeper in God. Okay? So you start out with the milk and then you just build on top of that until you get to where God is wanting you to be. So the first one that we want to talk about tonight is the process is hearing the word. You have to hear the word. The first thing most people do is to hear God's word. And for centuries, people didn't have Bibles to read. So they heard God's word read at church or heard it quoted in conversations or they sang songs with it. And in fact, there are many more references in the Bible to hearing the word than reading the word, because that is the main way people received it back then. And that's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. One of the primary things done in the early church meetings was public reading of the Scripture. You see, the primary way then people received God's word was by hearing God's word. All right? But hearing the word, it's is enough to bring us to faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This is still the way most people initially receive the word and come to faith. They hear the word. All right? Someone reads it, or somebody tells them about it. And today we can hear the word read and explained in church just as our ancestors did, and that's a good start. But we also have the added advantage of hearing it read through apps online, and some people, I don't know if you still have CDs or whatever it is, or whatever, however they do it today, but there's a lot of different ways you can go and hear the scripture read to you. Now, some people prefer that way of reading the Bible is to hear it, and they listen to it in their daily Bible reading, maybe on the way to work, or if you're on a long trip, or however it is, they like to hear that kind of stuff. And other people like to listen and follow along in their Bible, so they may hear somebody read it, and they follow along in the Word of God. And hearing the Word is where most people start, but if you stop there, you're still stuck in the milk. There's more. So we also want to read the word. Many of us are visual learners and are used to learning by reading. There are some advantages of reading over hearing the word, and such as being able to underline, make notes, and easily revisit in the text and all those kind of things. But remember, folks, many people in the Bible times either couldn't read or they didn't have access to written copies of Scripture. And so most of the verses about reading the word are in a corporate setting where God's word is being read out loud to a group, such as in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7 says, then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. You see, but there are some examples of individual reading the Word and an expectation, folks, that if you had the Scriptures, you should read them. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18 through 20, it says, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. Take from that of the priest who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers and turn from the law to the right or to the left. You see, the king of Israel was expected to have his own handwritten copy of the scripture that he read every day. Jesus expects those who had the scripture to read them. In each of these verses listed in Matthew, Jesus asked people, haven't you read in the scriptures? And then quotes the Bible to them. In each of these instances, Jesus was responding to questions or circumstances from the Pharisees. So these Pharisees had access to the written scriptures. And since they had the scriptures to read, Jesus expected them to read it. Unlike millions of Christians before us and millions around the world probably today, it can be read and we have Bibles and we have lots of Bibles. But if we go down in history as the Christians and the most as Christians with the most Bibles and we didn't read them, I wonder how often Jesus would ask us, haven't you read? Try read the Bible through every year. Amen? Read the Word. But we're still in the milk, though. You see, time for a little solid food. So you want to study the Word. Now we start going deeper. And when we study, we dig into what we have read. We start asking questions about the text. We look up the meanings of the words, and we compare what we read to other scriptures. We may look up what others think about it in a commentary. And studying is digging deeper to really understand what is being said. Ezra was the priest who returned to Jerusalem to help with the rebuilding after the exile, and his primary purpose was to teach people God's word. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and to the observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decree and laws in Israel. See, Ezra studied, and he observed, he obeyed, and he taught. Ezra was part of a long and proud Jewish tradition of studying the scriptures. This tradition was very much alive in Jesus' day. In John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Jesus commanded them to study the scripture to possess eternal life. Amen. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. You see, Paul preached in Berea, a city that is known, that is now a modern Greece. The Jews there had this commendable response. Rather than stoning him, rather than beating him, rather than driving him out of town, they studied the scripture to see if what he was saying was true. Study the word. You can study the Bible along or alone, or you can study in groups to study. But when you are reading to study, though, the Bible will come alive in some new way. It's fun to dig a little, learn it, love it, live it, memorize it. Another way to take in the word. The word memorize is not in the Bible, but the idea is. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 and through 20, it says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Nate talked about this Sunday. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk alone the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. It says, fix God's word in your hearts. Fix God's word in your minds. Fix God's word. Memorize them. Amen. Different ways to assist is tie them as symbols, as the scripture was saying. Tie them as symbols on your hands and your forehead. Teach them. Talk about them. Write them in places that you're sure to see them. Okay? It was very common for Jewish people to memorize scripture. In fact, some of them memorized all of the scripture. In Jesus' day, Jewish boys memorized the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, by the time they were 10 to 12 years old. The best students memorized the whole Old Testament by the time they were 13. Remember that they didn't have books. If they wanted to know the scripture, they had to memorize it. So they hid God's word in their heart. Psalms 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This was also true of Christians for centuries. The only Bible most people owned was the one that they had memorized. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, let God's word be at home in you. Let it live in you richly, abundantly, and as much as you can get. Notice the emphasis on singing psalms, singing hymns, and spiritual songs. This is one powerful way to memorize scripture, is to sing it. For centuries, the church sang scriptures. It helped them memorize the scriptures. And memory is a muscle that gets stronger with use. The more you memorize, the easier it gets. It's called repetition. Amen. Psalms 119:11, I have hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, another way to take in this food is to meditate on the word. See, when you hear the word, meditate, what do you think about? Anybody? Thinking? Rehearse. A lot of people think about when they meditate is there's people that sit and cross their legs. Right? Most imagine someone sitting in a position and emptying his mind of all thoughts. What are you doing? Meditating. But that's not what the Bible means. Biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is more like this. Like a cow chewing its cud. Okay? The cow eats grass and it swallows it, and later regurgitates it and chews on it and gets it all nourished out, the nourishment out of it, and then swallows it. That's meditation. We chew on the word and we get all of that nourishment. See, we're not emptying our minds, but filling it with God's thoughts, right? The basic meaning of the Hebrew word for meditation is a low sound like the moan of a dove, the growl of a lion in its prey. It means to mutter, okay? Meditation is musing, thinking, pondering on something so deeply that you are muttering, talking to yourself. The Bible teaches great promises to meditating on God's word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Don't let God's word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Okay? Think deeply, mutter, amen? This allows you to obey it, and it will make you prosperous. It will make you successful. Anybody want to be prosperous and successful? Amen. Meditate on God's word. Listen, here's something. Here's a revelation. And do what it says. Huh? Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. There it is again. Meditate day and night. You see, if you have memorized scripture, you can meditate anytime, anywhere. Just start thinking about it. Start mulling over it, each word and idea, chewing on it, and chewing on the promises of God. You'll be like the tree planted by the water. You'll stay fresh and green and fruitful. Whatever you do will prosper. Psalms 119:97-100. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. One more time, meditate all day long. Amen? If you have God's word in your heart, you can think about it anytime. You can just chew on it anytime, and it will make you wiser than your enemies. It'll give you more understanding than your teachers and your elders. In other words, you're going to be very wise, thoroughly equipped for every good work. hear, read, study, memorize, meditate. These are five things that you do with the word that we just talked about. But there's two missing. And those two are the real meat of the word of God. And the first one is obey the word. See, you really don't get the meat of the word until you do it. Put it into practice. Obey it. Anybody ever know somebody that, it's almost like they got the whole Bible memorized, but they don't live by it? Huh? Come on, I've seen people that way. You can say something and they'll just quote a scripture, but they're not living with it. They're not living it. Put it to practice. What good is it if they know it all, if they understand and they have it memorized, but they don't live it? What good is it? You have to obey it. The reason for hearing, the reason for reading, the reason for studying, the reason for memorizing and meditating is so you can do it. Right? Joshua 1 verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. If you do the first five and don't do this, it's all for naught. Folks, it's better to know one verse of the Bible and do it than to know it all and not do it. Come on. Jesus put it this way. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and the beat against it, that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and the bear beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Hearing the word without putting it into practice is like building your house on the sand. You think you're fine because you know so much. But that knowledge is useless if you don't put it into practice. James chapter 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. It's in the doing that you're blessed. Come on. Folks, let me tell you something. It's like this is James's the scripture, and James is talking. It's like the person that goes in the mirror in the morning and says, his hair standing up. It's hard to respect somebody like that, isn't it? Standing out in the back. I don't go anywhere without combing my hair. I always try to look nice because I want to be respectful. You don't care about yourself. You don't care about anybody else. And that's what the scripture is saying here. It's like that person. If you don't do what the scripture tells you, that's what you're getting. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. It is in that doing that you will be blessed. This is the real meat of the word. If you want to go deep, start with one verse and do it. Then another and another. Okay? Now the other, the last one. Not only do the word, but to share it. You see? I started by saying that eating is a process. You taste it, you chew it, you swallow it, you digest it, and then use it. It also is true with God's word. You've got to take it in. You've got to chew on it. You've got to digest it and let it become part of you. Then you use it. You put it into practice. And then you're ready to teach it because you're teaching it from the center of your life. Okay, you know, don't be one of those people that want to tell everybody else what to do and you won't live it. Okay? I talked to somebody one time, and they're telling me, I talk to somebody about God every day. I said, well, good. What about your kids? What are they seeing? So I know when he's telling me this, he's even when he's drinking, he's telling people about God. Whoop-de-doo. What are your kids seeing? All right? They're not seeing it. They're seeing you being a hypocrite. So if you teach before you digest it and live it, it's like chewing your food and spitting it up in people's face. People don't want you to be, they don't want to be spit on, okay? But if you're teaching what you've learned by hearing, by reading, by studying, by memorizing, by meditating and doing, then people can receive it. And I think you know that if you really want them to learn something, teach it. Or I'm sorry, if you really want to learn something, teach it. Great way to learn. And whenever you learn something, pass it on to someone else. If you do, you'll benefit them and cement what you have learned in your own life. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of my witnesses entrusted to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. You see, folks, at COP, let's create a pass-it-on culture. Can we do that? Let's create a pass-it-on culture. Each week, take what you hear, take what you study, chew on it, and do it, and then pass it on to somebody else. Pay it forward, whatever you want to call that. Now, let me tell you what I've learned today. Tell somebody. I learned something really good. Let me tell you what I learned and what I'm going to do about it. Let me tell you. Okay? Talk about it with your kids. Tell a friend or a classmate or a coworker what you learned and how you're putting these things into practice in your life. And you can do it with sermon. You can do it with your daily study time. If each of us, folks, think about it. If each of us passed on what we learned from the Word with just one or two people a week, we'd spread the word all over Cleveland, Northeast Ohio. Come on. Folks, God could use you in remarkable ways by just doing this one simple thing. Okay? Just tell others. Put it to practice in your life. Tell others. Go deep in the word of God. Let it shape your life. Let it, and then share what you learn. Pass it on. Every minute you invest in God's word, you will grow closer to Jesus. And you'll be more like him. Transform your life. Transform your relationships. And make you a blessing in the world that you live in. Let's stand. Amen. If you would do these things, like I said, just pass these things on to people. Folks, people would look to you and respect you in a way you never dreamed. Some may laugh at you, but most people, they're going to see this person is serious about living for God.